We're going to read from the Old Testament, the second book of Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5, and commencing our reading at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. We end at verse 15, and we do know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Of all the incidents connected with the ministry of Elisha, perhaps the story of the cleansing of Naaman is probably the best known. In these 15 verses that we read just a while ago, we have a graphic word picture of Naaman. We have the tragic announcement that he was a leper, and we have a ray of hope, and finally we have the great tragedy concerning him removed. The story appeals to us because it finds its parallel in our own experiences. As we read of Naaman, we put ourselves into the picture. Instead of Naaman, if instead we put our name there, and in place of leprosy, we put sin there, and instead of the River Jordan, we stand in awe of the place which is called Calvary, where the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, was shed, and that blood cleanseth us from all sin. There are a number of things we'd love to highlight from the story this evening. And first of all, we see Naaman as a great man in verse 1. It tells us all about him. Notice that it says Naaman was captain of the host. Naaman was a great man. Some men and some women live and die without ever achieving anything great or anything of importance in life, whereas others rise to fame very quickly and make a name for themselves. Naaman was just such a man. Such was the case with him that wherever he went, he was acclaimed and looked up to. He was head and shoulders, as it were, above any other man. He was a captain, verse 1. He was a great man, verse 1. He was an honourable man, verse 1. And by him the Lord gave deliverance to Syria, verse 1. And we're told also that he was a mighty man in valour. He was all of these things. A great man indeed. Courageous, popular, dependable. But that's not all the story about Naaman. We notice that Naaman had a grievous malady, a great disease. He had indeed a thing that was going to bring him down in death. And the last five words of verse 1 tell us all about this disease. While he was a great man, courageous, popular, dependable, and all of these things, it says, but he was a leper. He was a leper. Beneath Naaman's splendid uniform, as it were, there was a loathsome disease. There was this terrible disease. He was a victim of leprosy. I wonder, do you know people like that? Maybe beneath the exterior, you too are full of the leprosy of sin. Unforgiven. A sinner in the sight of God. Condemned already. A sinner. You may have been successful like Naaman. You may have been a noble person. But beneath all of this, there is this great tragedy. There is this great sorrow for a great man, but he was a leper. This is a terrible but. Could that be your story, friend? You might be great in the eyes of society, well liked and honorable and looked up to, but you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're out of Christ. You're on your way to hell. And only God knows the ache. Only God knows the leprosy, the depths of sin in your life. God can see it. Remember, men look upon the outward appearance. In 1 Samuel 16, we read, as Jesse brought his sons before Samuel, that he might choose the Lord's anointed to be king over Israel instead of Saul. And they brought Eliab, a man of great stature, of great height and of great physique, a man whom people would have chosen. Samuel looked upon Eliab and he said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." Even Samuel, the Lord's servant, could be deceived by the outward appearance. And my dear friend, you can deceive the preacher. You can deceive your family. You can deceive all around you. But God looketh upon the heart. And it goes on to say, "But God looketh, but the Lord said unto Samuel," in spite of what Samuel thought about Eliab, "the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature." He was a big fellow, strong, "because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And that's what we're preaching tonight. We're not preaching as we see you, but we're preaching how God sees you. He sees your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your inmost being. Such is the case with Naaman. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. It was hidden from the eyes of all around, hidden even from the king of Syria, the man whom Naaman served so faithfully and was the cause of the king of Syria's army winning many victories. And yet nobody could see beneath the exterior, beneath the clothing of the man. He was a leper. It was hidden from the eye of man, and even from your best friend, your closest friend, your dearest. But God sees it. God knows the heart. This is a picture of tens of thousands of our fellow countrymen and women. They are grand people, upright, decent, moral people, making splendid fathers, devoted husbands and wives and all the rest of it. But my friend, they have sinful hearts. Their souls are steeped in iniquity. They are unbelievers. They are spiritually diseased. They are dead in trespasses and in sins. And friends, relatives, neighbors, and associates are involved in this terrible, tragic state. Some of your family, perhaps, those who are nearest and dearest to you. And Naaman, in this state, perfectly describes the state of your loved one. Maybe people don't go to church, and many still today don't go, but going to church will not save you. And there are many people who do go to church, and they're depending on churchianity to get them to heaven. That's just as much wrong as not going to church. It's an evil in the sight of God. Because what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naaman was very privileged to have a gentle little maid in his company. One who waited upon his wife and served his wife very faithfully, as verses 2, 3, and 4 remind us. This little girl was the means of bringing Naaman to a realization of the awful state in which he was in, and of the cure for that terrible disease. This girl had been captured, possibly by Naaman, from the land of Israel, as Syria plundered Israel, and brought her to Syria. Now, away from home, she's serving the Lord, God of Israel. She'd been brought up and taught the Word of God. She'd been taught the commandments. She'd been taught the ways of Israel. She knew the God of Israel. And being away from home, a little girl is now witnessing for the God of Israel. What courage! What determination! What a commendable spirit in this little girl, standing up for her Lord and her Savior, away there in a foreign country, having been plundered and taken from home, and serving a Naaman's wife. And she witnesses to the faithfulness of the God of Israel, and tells this ungodly man, through his wife, that there's a prophet in Israel who can show him the way of cleansing, who can tell him what to do. And she witnessed for her Lord. And in that home where she was brought up, she had learned to trust in the living God, and she became a believer. Maybe you've been brought up in a godly home, and you've had so many privileges as well as this little girl, and maybe you're still out of Christ, far from God, careless and indifferent concerning your soul's eternal salvation. My friend, you need to take a check on yourself. You need to stop in your tracks, and you need to consider where you're going, and you need to repent of your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Others may have witnessed to you. Maybe a little girl or a little boy. For the Bible says a little child shall lead them. And certainly that's the truth here concerning Naaman. A little child led him to the place where he could find cleansing and healing. Thank God for faithful witnesses for Christ. Are you a faithful witness, child of God? Maybe you're no longer a young person, but an older person. Are you faithful in witnessing and in standing up for Jesus Christ? For those things which are right in life, are you faithful to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer? You'll notice that Naaman made a number of very grave mistakes. He was wise in that he listened to the little maid, but foolish in that he did not follow her advice. Yes, he followed it to a degree. But by and large, he didn't. But he listened to her. He thought he could buy the cure. If you read verse 5. And in verse 5 we read, the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment, thinking that cleansing could be bought with a price. How many there are today who think that salvation can be bought or earned? And nothing can be further from the truth. Not all the money in the world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is it you're living for? Is it monetary gain? Is it the gain of worldly prosperity? Is it the gain of good name? My friend, you can have all these things and in the end perish in your sin. Go out into eternity lost, without God and without hope, and that forevermore. We urge you in Christ's name to be reconciled unto the Lord. You'll notice here that they brought to him all these things, 10 talents of silver. And in those days, a talent was reckoned to be equal to £40 away back in those early days. That was some sum of money, wasn't it? Some sum of money. And 6,000 pieces of gold on the top of all of that. And then besides, 10 changes of raiment. What a gift. But all the money in the world cannot cure a man from leprosy. Neither can it save a man from his sin. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we read these words, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." Not all the money in the world can purchase a man's redemption. Many think that they can earn salvation. Many think that they can work for it. But the Bible says, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Not by works, says the scripture again, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. You notice, he thought he could buy the cure. And also, he went to the wrong place to be cured, according to verse 6. It says there, "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel," not to the prophet. He didn't go to the prophet. The maid didn't tell him to go to the king, but to go to the prophet that was in Israel, and that was Elisha. And so he went to the wrong place. He went to the king instead of Elisha. And many people today are knocking at the wrong doors for salvation. For example, they knock, many today knock at the door of the confessional box of a priest, seeking forgiveness of sins and salvation. My friend, how deluded, how dark and how false. Knocking at the wrong door, a false door, a door that can do nothing for them, that will be closed for all eternity to them, because there is no forgiveness of sins in any confessional box on this earth. The only confession that is heard in heaven is that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Confess to God Almighty. Tell Him you're a sinner. Let Him know you're repenting of your sin and ask Him for His salvation. Many people knock on the door of good works. They even knock on the church door. They knock on so many doors, but they will not find a salvation there. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, we find the only door that we can knock upon and enter and find salvation, and it's the door called Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. What a door. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is the door. Remember the rich young ruler? A bit like Naaman in many ways. Rich young ruler is mentioned in the Gospels of the New Testament. And he came running to Jesus. In other words, he came running right up to the very door of heaven with an anxious mind, inquiring the way of salvation, inquiring how to have eternal life. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him, but like Naaman, he had great riches. And like Naaman, he responded with anger and disappointment. And he went to the wrong place. He went away from the door of heaven. And he entered the door of hell and was a lost soul. The Bible never tells us anything more about him. It doesn't even tell us that he had another chance or came back to the door of heaven. And therefore we take it that he never came back again to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tragedy. Some of you have been close to the door of heaven. God has spoken in times past. Maybe He's speaking again tonight. And friend, you're at the door. It's not enough. You need to go through. By me, if any man enter in. Will you enter in tonight? Will you be saved? Will you take Jesus Christ as your Savior? He also wanted to be cured in his own way, Naaman did, and not in God's way. And how typical he is of many in the world ever since. Oh, they want to go to heaven, but they want to go in their own way, not God's way. God's way is outlined in verse 10. And you read verse 10, it says, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That's God's way. And in verses 11 and 12, we are told about Naaman's reaction when he first learned of God's method of cleansing. Look at it, it says, And Naaman was wroth. And he said, There are rivers in Damascus, and they're much better than the Jordan. May I not go there, wash and be clean? Oh, his wrath got hold of him, and he was angry at being told the way of salvation. So many want their own way. God's way is simple. It says, Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Cleansing for Naaman was simple. Wash and be clean. And my dear friend, cleansing from sin is simple. Wash and be clean. Wash in the blood of the Lamb. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you. Thank God, it does cleanse from all sin. And you'll notice the glorious miracle. Verse 14, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and look at it, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. Notice the last 4 words, and he was clean. Oh, the miracle took place. In obedience to the word of the Lord's servant, which was indeed obedience to the word of God, because Elisha spoke the word of God to him. And by obeying the gospel and coming to Christ, we too shall be clean every whit. Your sins washed away, your iniquities pardoned, you cleansed from all uncleanness, made right in the sight of God, acceptable to him, and becoming a child of heaven. What a glorious salvation. And it's on offer tonight, not from the church, not from the preacher. It's on offer from the very God of heaven to vile, guilty sinners in this house, that if only you'd come to Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Can you say, I do believe, I now believe? And if not, friend, will you say, I come to him believing and trusting and resting in the finished work of Christ upon the cross. I accept his sacrifice for the forgiveness of my sins. I ask for the cleansing of his precious blood to wash me and to make me clean. What a fountain, what a river. Let's plunge beneath that flood and lose every guilty stain. And in closing, let me just say to you this one beautiful thing about the story as I close. And here in verse 15, Naaman, now cleansed from his leprosy, made whole, is also absolutely convinced that there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. And from now on, this Naaman is determined to make this God his God. He's determined to know this God. He's determined to love this God and to serve this God. And he's determined to make this God known to others. What a wonderful change in his life which was wrought. Tell me, is that change wrought in your life? And are you determined to make this God your God? Are you determined to love him with all your heart? And to serve him with all your soul? And to make him known, like the maid, to others? Are you prepared to do that? That's the challenge for all of us. None of us will leave tonight without receiving the challenge of the Word of God. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to bless his truth to each and to every heart.